Glad to see Jerry. I hope that you would greet one another, and that's a good song, Arise, O Church. I'd like to ask Joshua if he would help me pass out this bulletin so that you can take some notes inside of the for the message for today, and invite you to take notes of that so that you may do that. This year, we're looking at our families, our homes, and we're praying that Christ is the head of this house. We're looking today at Job and his wife. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we cry out to You. We arise, our hearts arise, and we look to You. Our help cometh from You, Father. And we pray that You would prepare our hearts. Pray for Your anointing of Your Spirit upon Your servant to speak forth Your words. Our ears and our hearts would be open. Father, for those who are ill, and are, we do remember them in prayer. We have some who are battling with cancer and other illnesses. We do pray Your hand be upon them. Father, we ask that in all things Your name would be glorified, that You would be exalted, and You would be lifted up, and our hearts would be lifted up to see You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look here at Job, Job means afflicted. Have you ever handled afflictions? Think about how does a marriage or how does a family handle afflictions? This is a very difficult question. How do we handle afflictions when they come? And life certainly has afflictions. And so, first of all, I want to point out to you that Job is a historical person. He's mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. He's mentioned again in James. And he's quoted by Paul. He is an historical person. I also want you to take note that he lived in Uz. Now, this is the Arabian Desert. Arabian Desert, as you see here, the land of Uz. It probably close to where Midian was. Perhaps Moses was the one who wrote about Job as he went to the land of Midian and met his wife there. Heard of the story of Job and wrote of this man, Job. And he lived during the time of the patriarchs, the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Job lived more than 140 years. Now, we see also about Job, we take note of this, that he was wealthy in livestock and servants. All right, so in that day, that was a measure of wealth. I don't know if he was living today. Many times people look at the size of someone's house or the number of cars, whatever that might be. But he was also a priest for his family. So this was before the time of Moses and the law of Moses. Job endured suffering. The question is, where is God when life hurts? When faced with afflictions, and they come various times, what do we do when we're faced with these afflictions? Let me suggest here that we look back, we look up, and we look forward. These three things that we would consider today, looking back, looking up, and looking forward. So as we look at Job, first of all, he looked back. He looked back at life's blessings. The Lord gave. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now, Job realized that all that he has was given to him of God. The Lord has given. Let his name be praised. And see the blessings he had. He counted his blessings. As we're reminded by the hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. He had seven sons, his children, and three daughters. Notice here that Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. He early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this was Job's regular custom. As a spiritual leader in the home, he prayed for his children. He was concerned about his children. And we see here, he wanted their hearts to be pure. He prayed for them. And we see his love for his children. So children are a blessing from God. And the Bible reminds us of that. And then secondly, we see his wealth. He owns 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. Of course, in that day, that was a measure of wealth. Whatever it may be today, bank account or possessions, whatever it might be, God had blessed him with these things. But notice the third thing here, his character. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Now, that last statement, he was the greatest man of all the people of the East, is not because of his large family, but he had a large family, not because of his wealth that God had blessed him, but because of his character. His character, a man who feared God, who believed God, feared God, and avoided evil. He was blameless and upright. So there's much we can learn here from Job. And then we see here that life has blessings, but also, as you look back, you can also see life has afflictions. And it says here that the Lord has taken away. But Job also said this, "May the name of the Lord be praised." Taken away, the things that were taken away from him. I want you to take note of this here. First of all, the loss of wealth. All right, let's put ourselves here. What happened in this story, Job? A messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. And they put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." So here's what happened to your servants. Here's what happened to some of your livestock. And then, bang, next, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who's escaped to tell you." Bang, he lost his sheep. Again, bad news coming. It's kind of like getting all these emails at one time. All right, he's getting all these messages at one time. And then while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and they swept down on your camels and made off with them and they put your servants to the sword. And I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Bang, bang, bang. Three messages. Overwhelming. And didn't stop there. We look on here next. Not only the loss of his wealth, but even more difficult, the loss of children. And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house." And then when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, it collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Wow, this is, you could get rid, a house burned down, everything you have in your house, as long as you got out safely with your family, you would be thankful. But here, his children, 10 children, were also lost, taken away from him. And so, wow, this was more than anybody could bear. And it didn't stop there. As we go on, we see next the loss of health. He was afflicted, Job, with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. His whole body was painfully with his disease. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head when he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He maintained his faith in God, his trust in God. He couldn't understand it, but I'm going to trust God. And notice these two statements of Job. Shall we accept good from God? Shall we accept good from God, as he says here? And not trouble. So in all this, Job did not sin in what he said. He maintained his integrity. He still worshiped God. And then notice later on in Job, we see these words here. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Or as another translation puts it, yet I will trust in him. Though he slay me. The faith of Job. Though he slay me, even at the point of death, yet I will still trust in God. I will still hope in God. This is much we can learn from Job, but certainly his faith, how he trusted God, is certainly an example to all of us. And then we see next that all this that he lost. But then number four, and as we look here at number four, you see here the loss of his wife's support. And as we look at this verse here, let us be reminded here how difficult everyone reacts to suffering in different ways, how difficult it is. And so as we look at here, the words of his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." And he replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman." We need to understand her grief as well. She had lost her children as well. And now to see her husband and his having lost his health, it was more than she could bear. And so, I don't know that we need to be so harsh on his wife here, but certainly that would be added to his grief. Several years ago, my mother passed away. Sharon's parents passed away about the same time. We lost two grandchildren and a son, a 26-year-old. And it seemed like all this came over about a period of 6 months. And it seemed like we were overwhelmed. And good friends of ours, you met Tim and Donna Siebold, and we need to continue to pray for Tim and his health. But they had also gone through the loss of a grandchild, and they had gone to a grief share group, a church sponsored group that helped people to dealing with grief, a loss within a family. And in this grief share group, they invited us to go to that. And it's all about the journey from mourning to joy. It's a journey. And each of us go through that journey in different ways. And so we went through that grief share. And then over a period of about 2 or 3 years, we were able to lead a small group of grief share and help others who had to walk through this journey of grief. And it is not an easy journey. And all of us, there's the ups and the downs of going through that grief. All of a sudden, a memory would flash and you remember this about your grandson or your grandchild or this about your son or this about your parent, and it all comes back to you, the grief. So this journey of grief is very difficult. And yet God can help us through that journey. And so here we have this. And then the loss of his friends' support. Number five. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Hemathite, heard all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and to comfort him. And when they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. And they began to weep aloud. And they tore their robes and they sprinkled dust on their heads. And then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him, because they saw how great his suffering was. And so we see these friends. They wanted to be there for him. They wanted to share in his grief. And so they were there. Sat down next to him. And really, during that time of grief, some of the greatest thing you could do is just to be with a person. Give them a hug. Let them know that you're praying for them. And just to be there for them. And so they were. They were there to sympathize with him and comfort him. And so for 7 days, they did not say a word. But then we see happening next here. At first, his friends were quiet. But then they began to accuse him. Eliphaz believed that Job was suffering because of his sin. It must be because of your sin that all this has come upon you. And then Bildad believed that Job had not repented of his sin and therefore suffered. Well, it's because you've not repented that you're suffering this. And then Zophar believed that Job deserved to suffer more for his sins. With three friends like this, who needs enemies? They gave all their, maybe all their theological thinking. You know, this must be the reason. We don't know the ways of God. The ways of God are beyond our imagination, our thoughts. We don't know. God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts, as Isaiah reminds us. Yet so often as humans, we try to figure out what's going on here. And so they came and each one saying what they thought. Then a young man by the name of Elihu believed God was using suffering to mold Job's character. Perhaps this was closest to the truth, but as Psalm 119:71 tells us, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. But it's interesting that at the end, as we're going to see what God's answer is to all these questions, we need to be very careful. We don't know all the answers to the questions. And so many times we need to be careful of this. And so I think of this as life application number one. Is that when afflicted, ask for God's help. We may need the comfort of others, but others don't have all the answers. God has all the answers. And so when we're afflicted, we need to ask for God's help. I remind us, Psalm 22:24 says this, "For He has not despised or scorned the sufferings of the afflicted one. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." God doesn't hide his face, but he hears our cry for help. And so we're reminded here that cry out to God. Cry out to God in those afflictions. And God hears. And so this is all these things that Job went through. He cried out to God, and God heard his prayer. And then the second thing I want you to take note of here with very important, not only do we look back, but we need to also look up. We need to see God. We've been studying the names of God on Wednesday nights. And I'd like for you to take a look at three names here, particularly the first name, Jehovah or Yahweh. In English Bible, it's often L-O-R-D, all capital letters. 30 times in the book of Job, we find this name. It's a personal name of God that used first in the creation of man and woman. In Genesis chapter 2, we find this name. We also see that what God said to Moses here. God said to Moses, I am who I am, the great I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am, the great I am. And all the I am statements of the Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am. Everything we need can be found in God. I am. And I'd like you to take a note of this. Turn to Job chapter 38. After all these speeches were given, we see in Job chapter 38, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. And he said these words, the Lord, all capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, Yahweh. Then the personal God spoke to him and said these words to him, who is this that obscured my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and then I will question you, and you shall answer me. So God, the personal God, is with us, even in the times of affliction. Look up this name, Yahweh. Look up. And then second name I want you to take note of here in the book of Job is Shaddai, Almighty, or All-Powerful. 31 times we see this name in the book of Job. In Job chapter 5, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. And so these two names are very important. God is there with us. The personal name of God, Jehovah, I am that I am, everything we need of. And He is also the Almighty One. And so these two names, as we go through this difficulties, it's hard to understand what is going on. And so I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 29:29. This is a good verse to remember. We don't have all the answers. Remember this verse, Deuteronomy 29:29. Someone asks you a question. I don't know the answer. I try to find the answer. But here, Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. The secret things. We don't understand all those secret things, the mysteries. We don't understand all those things. But the things He reveals in His Word, those are things we understand. The secret things, because God's thoughts and ways are beyond our ways and our thoughts. And so here is our life application number two. And when there is no explanations for afflictions, there's no explanation for it, trust God. Trust God. The secret things belong to God. Trust God. I don't know. I can't understand. I can't figure it out. Trust God. So God is a personal God. And God is also an almighty God. So reminded of this is that when you feel as though you are drowning in your life situations, don't worry. Your lifeguard walks on water. Like Peter, drowning, called out to God, called out to Jesus, save me. He heard his cry. But remember, He is the Almighty One. He walks on water. So when we're drowning in our situations, whatever they might be, cry out to Him. Reach out to Him, and He reaches out to us. And He is the one who walks on water. And then we see another thing about looking up. We look up not just to see God, but we look up here to also see an adversary. See, here in Job chapter 1 and 2, there's something that Job doesn't see. But the curtain is pulled back. As we read Job 1 and 2, we see something that Job doesn't see. We see the adversary. Satan's first accusation. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them. He was an angel, remember? He came with the other angels. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." And then the Lord said unto Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Is Satan's reply. What an accusation he makes here. "Have you not put a hedge about him, around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." And so we see this chapter 1, this scene, that accusations of Satan against Job. God allowed him to prove his servant to a limit. And then we see this next accusation, chapter 2 of Job. The second accusation. "On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Where have you come from?' So Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it.' And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. He still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without reason." Without reason. And then see again the reply of Satan, his accusations. "Skin for skin, a man will give all he has for his own life. But now, stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So then we see after this second accusation, well, yeah, you've taken away his wealth, you've taken away his children, but he's still healthy. He still has his health. So again, the accusation of Satan. Okay, but you can't take his life. And so then, strikes his health down. And he has no health. And as we look at these, I want you to also see not only the adversary, but more importantly, I want you to see the victory. The victory. In Revelation, we also see the curtain pulled apart. In the future, we're going to see this here, Revelation. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God, day and night, has been hurled down." And so we see the curtain is parted, that in the future, that Satan is in the last days, he's hurled down. He has no access to go with the angels up there and accuse, falsely accuse. And so we see here that the accuser of our brothers and sisters. And then we need to realize what Ephesians 6 tells us. Very important. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul pulls apart the curtains. If we could only see that there is a spiritual warfare going on. There is a spiritual battle going on. And then, that God has made preparation for the victory. Ephesians 6 tells us here that we're to put on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God. And that we're to do that in prayer. The helmet of salvation to protect our thoughts from all the fiery darts, from all the attacks, to protect our thoughts. The shield of faith when those darts are thrown at us by the devil, causing us to doubt, we use the shield of faith. The breastplate of righteousness, and we are made righteous through Jesus Christ, not of our own selves. The belt of truth, the truth of God's Word. The sword of the Spirit, our weapon, and our shoes. The gospel of peace. And so we put on every piece of that armor because we are in a spiritual warfare. I remember there were teachers, several of teachers, one of the middle schools I taught in for several years, that were Christians, and every morning would meet for prayer. And I was just moved by hearing the prayers as these Christian teachers, we would pray together. And I remember, Lord, I now take on the armor of God, as they would pray. I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation to protect my thoughts today. And they would pray these pieces of armor and put them on in the morning for the battle that laid ahead. And so here is life application number 3. When there are spiritual attacks, put on the armor of God in prayer. And stand firm. There are spiritual attacks. And we have to be prepared with the armor of God in prayer, putting on the armor and standing firm. And so, look back. Look up. Look up. Seeing God, seeing our adversary, but also seeing that through Jesus Christ, we have the victory. Because He died on the cross, yes, this Friday we're going to remember His death on the cross, His crucifixion. But it doesn't end there. The victory, 3 days later, He arose. Easter Sunday is coming. Easter Sunday is coming. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. He arose. The victory is there. And then look forward. Look forward. I want you to take note of this here. Looking forward. Job chapter 42, God speaks here. My servant Job will pray for you. Pray for these friends here. And I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. God asks Job to pray for his friends, those 4 friends. And make sacrifices for them. Asked him to pray for them. You know, looking forward, it's so important that we remember to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. I saw this picture and I thought this is a interesting picture here. This is why we pray for each other. We all have our shortcomings. As we pray and lock our arms together in prayer for each other, so that the other brother does not fall. The other sister does not fall. We pray for each other. We all have our shortcomings. I'm reminded of this past week we did the name Jehovah Nisi, which is, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah is my banner. And Moses was holding up his rod while Joshua and the people were in the battle against the Amalekites. And he was holding up his rod, and on the side was Aaron helping him to hold it up, and Ur was helping him hold it up, and he held up the rod, they would win the victory. And then when he became weary and the rod came down, they would start to lose the victory. They put a rock under his arms, helped to steady him, and then on the side, they helped hold up that rod. We need to pray. Looking forward in the future, we need to pray for each other. We all have our shortcomings. And so we need to pray. This is why we pray for each other. And so life application number four, pray according to God's Word. And then our prayers will be accepted by God. God told him what to pray. God's Word tells us what to pray. And so we look at God's Word. We pray the Word of God back to Him. My son gave me a book. It's taking the Psalms and turning them into prayers back to God. Prayers from the book of Psalms. And so I'd like you to consider this. And then restoration also came. Restoration. We see this here, how he was restored. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys, and he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Yes, his children had passed on to heaven. They had believed God as his father had taught them. But then later God gave him 10 more children and then doubled his other wealth. So we see how God was with him. Before and after, God restored him. And so I'd like you to consider this here with me today. Very important for us to consider this. When faced with afflictions, look back. Look up. Look back and thank God. Look up and see God. Look forward and trust God. God's ways are beyond our understanding. Job trembles at the greatness of God and he's humbled. Job and his wife learned that no one is exempt from suffering. But no matter how great the trial, the presence of the peace of God is greater still. And God is shaping Job's capacity to trust him more fully. So in James, we find these words about Job. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So by trusting God, you can glorify Him in times of suffering. And I was thinking, are there any present day Jobs? And I remember growing up hearing this story. Hearing the story of, you maybe have heard also the story of Johnny Erickson Tada. And I guess the picture's not there. Okay. You've heard their story. 17 years of age. 17 years of age, a young Christian woman. Very athletic, was swimming, dove into the place. She didn't realize there were some rocks there, hit her head and paralyzed her. Her life was saved, but she had to endure several surgeries. And then she learned how to put a paintbrush in her mouth and paint. She sang, wrote books, and she is often a speaker at different places. And she is an example of Job, a modern-day example of Job. So there is so much we can learn, not only from her, but also from Job. Yes, the things that Job experienced, we see also that he is faithful, that we can trust God. And the last picture I want to show you, this is another true story of Job. March 22nd, this past week, my cousin Darcy Lynn, celebrated her 17 years. You see, at 14 years of age of some of you young people, she just, 8th grade, went home, got on an ATM vehicle. They live in the countryside. I remember hearing the news. She got on that ATM and took off riding through the trail. And for some reason, that vehicle hit a bump and came over and landed on top of her and broke her back. Now, Johnny Erickson Tada, after she was paralyzed, she couldn't move her legs or her arms. My cousin can only move her arms. She celebrated the 17th anniversary of that this past Thursday. And all that God brought her through, the surgeries, and those friends and family that were there with her, neighbors who helped build ramps to get her in a wheelchair and help her to get home. She went through college. She is now teaching in a kindergarten. And every summer, for the last 10 summers, she's gone to Johnny and Friends. Johnny has an organization to help young people who are facing disabilities. And every summer, she has gone there to help in that camp for 10 years. The last 5 years, she's gone as a teacher for the children. And I'm sorry that the picture's not showing there, but she has the biggest smile. She lives by herself. She's learned to drive. Yes. Yes. We can trust God through whatever circumstance, whatever affliction that happens. And so let us learn from Job. Let us learn from Johnny. Let us learn from Darcy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow down before you. We look back at the things in our lives, but help us never to forget to look up, that we might see you and know that you are there with us, and look up and see that there's also a spiritual warfare going on. But you, through Jesus Christ, we have the victory. And Father, to look forward, to look ahead, we pray, thank you for the example of Job, the example of Johnny, the example of Darcy. Oh Lord, help us. Though you should slay us, whatever might happen in our lives, that we would still hope in you, trust in you, because Lord, you are faithful. We pray in Jesus' name.